In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever heard of the Voynich manuscript? Some people have described it as the most mysterious object on earth. It appears to be a textbook from the 1500s on herbs and medicine, but most of the species of plants depicted in the book are not known to actually exist on earth. No one can read the Voynich manuscript because it's written in a language that is unknown. Since this book was discovered more than a century ago, renowned archaeologists and linguists and historians have tried to decode it, but still today, no one has. It remains a mystery. Does the Bible ever seem mysterious to you? There are some strange things in the Bible that are out of the realm of our experience. The Great Flood, Jesus' miracles. Sometimes the language of the Bible is hard to understand. Even when we get beyond the these and thous, there are often words in italics or in all caps for no apparent reason. And even when the language is clear, the geography is unknown to us, the customs are sometimes just downright weird, and the concepts might be hard to grasp. For instance, does God really expect us to love our neighbor? Is the body and blood of Jesus Christ present in the Holy Communion? Did Jesus actually rise from the dead? By the way, the answer to all of those questions is a resounding yes. That we might have some trouble understanding the Bible is understandable because it comes to us from another time. The first books of the Bible were written much more than 1,000 years before Jesus was born, and the last books were written almost 2,000 years ago. The Bible also comes to us from a very different culture, the ancient Middle East, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek, not the King's English. Still, we trust and believe what the Bible has to say about itself, namely that it is the Word of God given to us for our salvation. Although written by people in a particular time and place, these people were inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us a message from God applicable to all times and all places. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible is God's ultimate revelation of himself to humanity. The prophet Isaiah lived in a difficult time. Is there ever a time that isn't difficult? The Holy Spirit spoke verbally through the prophet Isaiah to God's people. And Isaiah's words were written down and preserved for posterity. Just as God spoke to the ancient nation of Israel through Isaiah, God is still speaking to us today through the book of the prophet Isaiah. And just as we may struggle to understand Isaiah's message in our time, those in Isaiah's time either could not or would not take his prophecy to heart. The reason Isaiah's generation could not understand what God was saying through Isaiah had nothing to do with problems of language or problems of context. The problem was with the people themselves. They did not want to hear what God was saying. They did not want to know God's will for them. They chose not to hear or read God's word because it was at odds with what they wanted to believe and what they wanted to do. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Do we prefer not to know what God says because our minds are already made up? Or would we welcome God changing our actions, changing our attitudes? It's also true that people will read the same Bible passage and come to different conclusions about what they think it means. Are all interpretations valid? That's logically impossible. More importantly, Jesus comes down on the side that there are correct and incorrect interpretations. In our reading from Mark, Jesus calls out the Pharisees for twisting the commandment to honor your father and mother to mean that it's okay to disrespect and neglect your father and mother. What the Pharisees were doing was just wrong, no matter how you spin it. A cornerstone of Lutheran biblical interpretation is that we understand Scripture in its plain and simple sense. Knowing some things about the historical and cultural context of a passage may give us some deeper insight into a Bible story, but nothing is going to overturn its plain and simple meaning. For instance, when Jesus says, "This is my body," that's his body, not a symbol, not a representation. Also, there are no secret codes or hidden messages in the Bible. You can't predict the stock market or political assassinations by forming words out of every third letter or some such nonsense as some books a few years ago claimed. Jesus told his disciples to proclaim his message from the rooftops, not to encrypt it. God has been absolutely open and transparent in telling us what we need to know for our salvation and how to live as his people. Practically, if parts of the Bible are unclear to us, we need to interpret them in light of what is clear and direct. As an example, 1 Corinthians 15:29 makes mention of those baptized on behalf of the dead. What does that mean? Many, many interpretations have been proposed, and it is not exactly clear what St. Paul was referring to there. But we know from the rest of Scripture that baptism is for the living and that no one can be saved for someone else. So it's likely that Paul is referring to some pagan or much less than orthodox Christian ritual, and that verse should not upend our whole baptismal theology. This is a reason that group Bible study is so very important. Reading the Bible on our own is great. I encourage everyone to do it. But all by ourselves, we may get off on an off-base idea and wind up way out in left field. Then we need someone to pull us back to reality. In the Lutheran Church, we have the Lutheran Confessions, which we accept as true and reliable interpretations of Scripture, and they keep us on the right path. What God called Isaiah to tell his people was that God was going to turn their path, and it was going to be a 180-degree U-turn. God was going to turn their lives upside down, which really would be putting them back right side up again. This is always the purpose of God's judgments. God is not cruel. He takes no pleasure in chastising his children, but like a loving father, God corrects us because it's necessary. He gets us going in the right direction again, and that right direction is always toward him, toward hearing his word, toward worshiping him in spirit and truth. The people God spoke to through Isaiah were going in the wrong direction. They paid God lip service. They seemed to say the right things. Their worship appeared sincere, but their hearts were not in it. They were only going through the motions. Their love for God had grown cold. Their religion was just a show, a facade. God grant that we may never fall into such a trap. The analogy found in verse 16 of Isaiah is interesting. God made Adam. He formed humanity out of the dust of the earth, out of the soil, like a potter makes a pot out of clay. Could the pot ever be stronger and wiser than the potter who made it? No way. Yet many people think that we have outgrown our need for God, that we don't need God any longer. That's just ridiculous. God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And Isaiah says that God is about to do something equally dramatic and miraculous. He says that the deaf will hear the word of the Lord. The blind will read his word. The humble will rejoice. And most incredible of all, the needs of the poor will be met. That's good news. There's also a warning there for evildoers. God plans to cut down and upend those who are making a mockery of justice. That seems to be one of God's favorite ways of operating. Reversing things, making the first last and the last first. And he usually seems to do it just when it seems that all is lost. Kind of like hitting a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth. The ultimate example of that is Christ dying on the cross and rising again to new life. This is the quintessential demonstration of God snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, Satan's jaws. That is the overarching message also of Isaiah's prophecy, God's ultimate triumph over sin and death. Early on, Christians saw how the life and death of Jesus was so clearly prophesied in Isaiah's book. Isaiah is quoted more in the Gospels than any other prophet. I even have an old book that suggests that we could preach on Isaiah, a text from that prophecy, every week of the year, 52 weeks in a row, even Christmas and Easter. That may get to be a little too much, but it could be done. The point is that God planned long before Jesus was born that the only begotten Son of God would come to earth and give his life for our forgiveness. God prepared the world for that good news through prophets such as Isaiah. And God is also preparing the world to receive Christ as he comes to us today in word and sacrament, and as he will come again on the last day as our Lord and Judge. God is going to do that through us, his Christians. Together we live, work, and worship faithfully and lovingly, witnessing to God's grace in those ways, even in these difficult days. Now, I have a bonus for you today. You recall I said that there were no hidden messages or codes in the Bible. There's not. That's true. But I came across an interesting coincidence once, and that's all it is. It's a coincidence, but it's fascinating. And if it helps us to know more about the Bible and understand it, that's all to the good. Here it is. There are 66 books in the Bible. The books of the Bible were not divided into chapters and verses when they were written. The chapters and verses were added in the Middle Ages to help with Bible study. We wouldn't say that chapters and verses, the numbers there, are divinely inspired. There also happens to be 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Just like the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are 39 books. The Old Testament especially proclaims God's law and judgment, although there is some gospel in there. Likewise, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah concentrate on God's law and judgment. There are 27 books of the New Testament. The New Testament, of course, concentrates on Jesus the Messiah, who we know as Jesus. The last 27 books of Isaiah's prophecy also concentrate on Jesus, on the Messiah. That's some coincidence, but there's more. In the center of the 27 gospel-oriented chapters in Isaiah are chapters 52 through 54. They're known as the servant song because they poetically, beautifully point to the Messiah, Jesus, as the suffering servant of God and man. The center of the servant song is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, which reads, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So there you have it, the very crux of our faith, plain and simple, right smack dab in the middle of Isaiah's messianic prophecy. That's no mystery. It is plain and simple, and that's what I'm calling the Holy Gospel according to Isaiah. Amen.